Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Four verses, 4 through 7 this morning, of a message titled, Encouraged by Your Growth. The message today kind of asks the question, are you encouraged when you see God working in other people's lives? We know how easy it is when we see God working in our lives to be excited and encouraged, right? But what about when we see God working in other people's lives? In our culture, it's difficult because we have been conditioned, especially in my generation and newer. We've been conditioned, starting in my generation, it's the me generation. Everything revolves around me, 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 I. As a matter of fact, in English teachers, they get crazy when you say, I and her or him or me and Bob went down to, no, it's Bob and I. Amen? I'm not an English person, by the way, please, if you gave me an English test right now, I'd probably flunk it bigger than big. But I remember hearing English teachers say that is the thing they loathe. Thank the Lord. Miss Betty's not here today. She knows English well. Amen? Miss Betty Miller. Sometimes she'll real nicely say, Brother Jonathan. But if he was here today, we want to thank you for saying that. But Miss Annie Ruth Murphy was the same way. She liked people speaking the right way. But spiritually, we're going to see this morning the blessing in seeing God work in others. And for my generation newer, it's going to be, in some respects, a newer concept. But I want to tell you something. There is no better concept than positioning others above ourselves and seeking to watch God bless others. God's going to bless us if we're obedient. Trust me. God's going to grow you and I. He's going to reveal His thoughts. The word's plain about that. But when we start focusing on other people, then we're able to be used of God in greater degrees. And we'll see the reason that this happens this morning. And what I do is I just pray that this study encourages all of us to see the blessing of watching God bless others, but then our ability to pray to that end, and to thank the Lord for that growth in other people's lives. Hope you found the scripture this morning. Again, Philemon verse 4 through 7. If you're physically able, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's word. I always thank my God when I mention you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I pray that your participation in the faith may become effective through knowing every good thing that is in us for the glory of Christ. For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Father God, thank you this morning for your word. Again, in this privilege we have to worship you today. Father, I pray that you would remove any distraction from us today. And in the next little bit, Father, that your spirit would move in hearts as only you can. Each and every one of us have so many things that we're burdened with, Lord, and we're overwhelmed with. But God, just for a few moments, Lord, free us from that today so that the glory of Jesus Christ, the Spirit's power, your presence might move in this assembly as only you can. God, let us leave here motivated, encouraged to go out and be lighthouses, to be reflectors of your glory in this dark, this broken, lost, and dying world, that there is no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation Father, hide me behind the cross today. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen to verse 4 and 5 again. It says, I always thank my God when I mention you in my prayers because I hear of your love and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. First thing that I want to share with you this morning comes from those two verses, and it's this. People should have great value to us as Christians. Now, you've heard that. It's kind of one of those infant spiritual things that we know, but I think it's important to reiterate the basics. The basics in life are the things that we actually forget quite often, especially in this 30-second clip-it life that we're in right now. But Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39 say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the greatest and most important command, but the second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You've heard me say this a lot, and I pray God will give me the remembrance, the ability to say this, continuing into the future. What is the most important thing to God? People. He made us in his image. He made us to glorify him. So we know that this is important because we are important to God. I said, I guess it was Sunday night or maybe Wednesday night of this last week. Does God need us? No. God's still going to be God whether we're on board or not. He's still going to be able to accomplish his purpose even if he has to raise rocks up. He's going to accomplish, but yet God loves us passionately. One of those things that you see that in and understand the truth of it is when you see the picture of God sending Jesus Christ. That is a love unable to be understood by me. I hear it. And I recognize that God loves us, but I truly cannot grasp it. My sons, not perfect, none of my sons, none of my children are perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I would not allow my child to die for a lousy reprobate for anything in me. Much less had I had a child that was sinless to pay a price for someone that deserved everything that was coming to them. Amen? But see, that's the picture of what Jesus did. That's what's so profound to me. Again, that's why I have such a hard time understanding the love of God, because I'm just going to be, I believe being honest is a real good thing. I can't understand it. But it me makes the love of God so much more amazing because of that fact. We don't deserve it. And it makes me understand that the love of God I will never be able to understand because it doesn't make any sense to me. But it does put a spotlight on the fact that God does love us with a love that is incomprehensible, unable to be understood by us. And you don't even have to be like myself. You don't have to be highly intelligent to understand that, wow, this God must really love us to do what he did. All right, so not only did you and I nail Jesus to the cross, by us coming to faith in him, we take part in his death. So if that wasn't amazing enough, here is the very God that we murdered, ruthlessly murdered his son. And when we fall flat on our face, deserve once again to be smacked into oblivion. But no, God's preparing a place for us right now. And have you ever thought about this? He spoke ex nihilo, out of nothing, this into existence in 6 days. He's been working for 2,000 years on the place that we're going to spend our eternity. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? Amen? I go to prepare a place for you. So that talks about an active process that is ongoing. Whew. Man, I can't. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard is what the Bible says about it. We don't want to focus too much on that, or we end up with a fatalistic mindset of let's roll out of here. We can't do that. We've got work to do for the Lord. But people should have great value to us as Christians. We can battle that at times. I'm going to be candid with you. Loving the unlovable, church, is hard. I struggle with watching some of the things that are going on right now. I struggle when I watch what happened yesterday in California, where somebody murdered a woman that had a 6-year-old son as an officer and a young man. I struggle with that young man that was gunned down ruthlessly by that vile individual in North Carolina, in Henderson, North Carolina, has a 6-year-old son, a precious little 9-year-old daughter. I struggle with that. I struggle with what's happened in Coffee County this morning. You'll see it later on. I don't want to saddle you with any of that, but I struggle with it. I struggle bad with it. I'm telling you, I want to say that my anger is righteous, but I'm not going to lie to you. I believe it borderlines something not good. And I mean that because there are some really good police officers out there, some real good ones. As a matter of fact, the majority of them are. You'd have to be completely insane to go work for some of these places, $8, $9, $10 an hour, with your very life on the line day in and day out, only to be ridiculed. Everything that you do under a microscope, and the only desire you have is to ensure the protection and safety of the population. And what the general overwhelming concept of policing is to protect the public. Yes, there are two bad apples, but guess what? What about that yo-yo that in Burger King or Wendy's a few years ago got in the sink and took a bubble bath and recorded it with all the dishes that people are going to eat off of and they're going to make the food off of? Well, I'm never eating there again, right? No, there are a few bad apples everywhere. As a matter of fact, some of the teachers in some of these northern parts of our country, thank you, Jesus, my kids weren't in that kind of school system. And the other teachers are even saying some of these people should have been gone years ago. They have no desire to do nothing but to hold on to their jobs, and they don't even care about teaching anymore. You know, that's the thing, though. We tend to see one bad thing. Hey, church experiences, right? Oh, man, I've been to some bad church. You're looking at one who's been to a lot of bad churches. That's why I think it's real important for pastors to be real with you. I can't sit up here, as I said to you last week, and make myself into something that you think, oh, man, I wish I was like him. You have anybody who does that, brothers and sisters, let me give you the reality of life. That person's pulling a facade, the wool over your eyes, because we are all imperfect people that have a connection and a relationship, let's just call it a collision with a perfect God through Jesus Christ. And as we grow in Christ, our desire is to conform into his likeness and grow to be what he has created us to be. And guess what? It's not a process that happens overnight. And is that when you see salvation's the initial part of it, sanctification's the process that we're in right now. That means an ongoing work of the Lord as we more daily conform into his likeness, but that will one day end in the finished product called sanctification. And friends, no one hits that while they're still breathing. That happens when we are dead, graveyard dead. So there's nobody in here that's ever going to have it all figured out. But see, we can take peace in that. We can take comfort in that. Now, does that mean we just go out here and live like the devil? And No, but that means that we are able to extend grace to one another. As you see me or you're struggling, we can say, hey, I can see that you're struggling. Am I seeing something wrong? Or how can I minister to you? How can I pray for you? We don't see that as a threat or an insult. No, as a brother in Christ, what you would see that is, wow, they love me enough to care about me and to care that what? I'm growing or I'm not, and they want to see me grow. You have to care before we're ever going to make a statement like that to somebody, are we? Unless it's the self-righteousness of, oh, I'm up here, I'm just glad I'm not you. But we know what Jesus did with that, and it was never a good thing. So remember, people should have great value to us as Christians because God values people made in his image. Listen to verse 6 again. It says, I pray that your participation in the faith may become effective through knowing every good thing that is in us for the glory of Christ. Leads the second thing that I want to share with you this morning. It's this. Pray for the spiritual growth and protection of others. We pray for ours, but are you praying for those in the body of Christ? Are you praying for your children that God would guard their hearts and minds, and praying for my children as I pray for your children, that God would guard the hearts and minds of their future spouse, that as infants, they won't maybe know for 15, 20 plus years. See, God knows who that's going to be, because remember, God, he transcends time. He is not bound by time. Time was created for us. So therefore, Revelation was able to be written because of the fact that God is able to be an eternity present, past, or anywhere in between all the time, even though we can't understand it. So there's a great comfort in that, because when you see Psalm 23, if God could not transcend time, Psalm 23 in essence would be a lie. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. Well, how can God do that? The same way it says, before the foundations of the world were laid, every day that we would have was already written. Do what? The Bible says it. Your days were ordained before the foundations of the world. Well, if God could not see future, if God was not able to be present in future, how in the world would that be true? This is stuff, y'all, that's this deep. It's hardcore, man. It reveals the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that created us. And I think, in a sense, it helps take off this restraint, in a sense, that we put on God. Because, you know, man, I'm going through this right now. I feel like God's not here, and God doesn't know what's going to happen, and he's trying to figure it out too. Nope, God is already there. But see, this is what we forget to realize as we're praying to the Lord, and we're giving him that, God, grow my faith. As last week's, the series we finished up, where are you, God? Where are you? I had a sad statement from somebody this morning, shared a person that had, nobody from here, nobody that you guys would even know, but there was a person who had a prodigal child that they would not let go. They wouldn't let him go. Remember how the woman I was telling you about in Maryland there that continued to keep the child at home and go get the drugs for her because she was scared that her daughter, and she ultimately lost her daughter, this person, this man, this week, lost his son because he thought he could protect him by keeping him with him. He's burying his son this week now. See, these are these things right here. God does his job really, really good. We can't try to help God do his job. We're supposed to do what we're responsible to do, but we cannot try to be God. It never, ever works, church. It never has worked, and it never will work. The only way that we see the power of God is when we allow God to be God. Just like this second thing right here, in praying for the spiritual growth and protection of others, it goes contradictory to us. It goes contradictory to the culture thought of, wait a minute, God bless them. What about bless me, Lord? Let's remember, it's not about us. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself, seeing them above you. It's serving. It's Jesus, the mindset of Jesus. It's seeing others above us. Remember, pray for the spiritual growth and protection of others. Now listen to verse 7 again. For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. The best blessing comes through seeing others blessed. The best blessing comes through seeing others blessed. We've gotten kind of twisted in the old saying, it's better to receive than give. It's actually supposed to be, it's better to give than to receive. When we flip that mindset into the proper order, which is it's better to give than to receive, the focus being on others, what we do is we end up taking on the mind of Christ, meaning what God's desire for us is. How about the process of saying, God, how can I be a blessing to someone today? Not, God, how are you going to bless me today? You see, the proper perspective of that is, God, how can I be used to bless others today? Well, wait a minute. What happens if I'm more focused on blessing others and not praying that God would bless me? How's my needs going to be? We don't have to worry about that, because you know what the Bible says, right? The promise. He will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. So we don't have to worry about, yes, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, right? We're okay. Yes, that's okay to say, God, meet our needs today. And I know you will. But more than anything, how about, Lord, how can I be the hands and the feet of Jesus today? God, how can someone see Jesus lived out in my life? I'm telling you, if you're in a situation where you never have the ability, because you're in a class, you're in some place where it's not you talking, it's somebody else, should people be able to see Christ? I know this for a fact because it happened to me this week. Someone followed me out into a parking lot and said, hey, I have a question for you. Spiritually, they had seen Christ without one word spoken to them about this. And I say that to say, we do not have to go around and beat a drum of whatever. We just have to be obedient and let the glory of Christ resonate and emanate and be reflected in our life. Now, should I say, oh, well, I'm just going to wait so they see it in me, as opposed to saying it? No, you should let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, what does the Bible also say? Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in you, but do so with gentleness and respect. I challenge you not to get on Facebook and try to have a spiritual argument with someone who's resistant to the thing spiritually. Let me assure you of what will happen. You will make yourself out to be a fool. Why? The Bible says, do not cast your pearls to the swine, for they will turn around and devour you. Please understand what I'm saying. Engage people in constructive dialogue that are willing to hear what you want to say. Don't do it in a public forum. Send them a message. Go to lunch with them. Don't be willing to get in there and say, I'm embarrassed them. Don't do that. Don't do it. You're doing it with the wrong heart, first of all. But the only person who's going to look like a fool is you or me when we do that. Do you understand what I'm saying with this? Because why? They are conditioned and seasoned to throw out the number one thing the moment you and I say something. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Amen? First thing they say. You're like, well, I didn't say anything ungodly. What? Don't worry. The first thing they go for is the C card, the Christ card. Well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't have said that. That's why I'm saying it's very important to understand that even as you pray now for your brothers and sisters in Christ, pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would equip them for this mission field right now, which is, oh Lord Jesus, come quickly. A very dangerously awful place for what we believe and who we are. It requires us to have much restraint. And if you're like myself, you just want to do the right thing, and sometimes, wouldn't the right thing be to choke somebody that desperately needs it? No, it wouldn't be. But we battle that if we're not careful. And the enemy will use that to get us all fired up, mad. The next thing you know, we got our shirt off at an intersection giving somebody a righteous whipping, we think. No. Local Baptist so-and-so. No, it's not going to be local man threatens to whip crowd of looters. Oh, no. Member of local Baptist church charged with aggravated assault and civil rights violations. I'm speaking the truth to you. It's never about a normal person just getting upset because somebody's tearing your town up. No. No, the number one thing is, oh, they looked at your Facebook and they found out you're a Christian. When we pray for one another, we need to pray that God would give us a godly, righteous restraint. Amen? That God would grow us to the place that we are able to respond and to act in a way that will glorify the Lord, that will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, not shame, disgrace, and reproach. Now, what's going to happen when somebody says, "Boy, you guys are this and you're that and blah, blah"? You just pray that God would give you, me, and every one of us and every believer around the globe today the ability to stand firm for Christ in when and if that day comes. Because the Bible says, what will the Lord? He'll give us the very words to speak. There's a young man in Afghanistan that is a follower of Jesus Christ, and one of his bosses at the place he was working said that he insulted the prophet. And if I remember correctly, he's been in prison now for 6 years. They've sentenced him to death. You got the final verdict down. They've sentenced him to die because he supposedly has insulted the prophet. The man vehemently denies it. All he'd have to do is say, "I'm converting to Islam," and they'd let him go. He said, "I'm not going to convert. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I did not do what they're accusing me of." See how easy it would be? We need to pray for believers like that right now, that not only overseas, but what about John MacArthur Church? Do you realize what they just said this week? That the higher court says, "Hey, you cannot meet." They seized their parking lot last week. This week they say, "You better not meet." It's going to be interesting to see what happens today, because I know John MacArthur enough. John MacArthur, he's standing for Christ. He's standing for truth. And he said, this is enough. He had the percentage of people who actually died from it, the percentage. He had everything laid out eloquently when he laid out the truth that his church body needs to get together and meet, and the children need to hear the gospel and truth and all of these different things. Are we praying right now for the people in your life that God would bless them, that they would grow and see this blessing right now? "For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Have you shared with somebody in your life that has been a spiritual refreshment or an encouragement to you, that they are a blessing or an encouragement to you? You know what an honor it is when someone shares with me, and it, you know, our Bible verse that I send out in the mornings. How many of you now have had people in your lives, and you have a list yourself of people that you send out that verse to? In some cases, there's two and three levels of people that now are getting the verse. Or you've told me about the spiritual growth in your life that's happened because you've been in your word, and God has moved in your life. And I've had people share with me with literally they're giddy inside. They're excited. You know what encouragement that is to me? I don't want to hear them go, "Oh man, Brother Jonathan, I'll tell you what, you're knocking them out of the ballpark." Do you know how much? That's okay. Hey, that's an encouragement, but let me tell you what I want to hear. I want to hear how God's growing you, and how God's working in your life, and how God's using the verse or anything else, because what that to me is the picture of this right here. Because remember, I don't grow people. I don't save people. It wasn't my son that died for your sin. It was God's son. I am merely a tool in the hands of the Lord, as you are, as we're called to be. So this morning, what are you? Are you one that has been caught? And even if you get caught in this being the thing where you go, "Phew, I'm guilty," being self-focused, that doesn't mean that you're any less spiritual than anybody else. Because we have an enemy that is so effective in selling lies, even believers, and getting us focused on things and focused on ourselves instead of others. That's okay today if you realize that you haven't been doing this. You know what the great part is? We have a chance today to turn the ship around, so to speak. We have the chance today to go, "God, I hadn't really thought of that." Or maybe, "Wow, God, you just reminded me through this through the word this morning, that I need to be praying that you would grow people. God, let me pray for this and brothers and the sisters, that your power would be made perfect in their weakness and in their strength. You'll grow them and you'll mature them, and that God would raise up the next generation of Sunday school teachers, because we are very aware that no one in here is getting any younger. We're all getting older. Amen. And God, raise up the next generation of us, Lord, because just like Brother Jimmy Tedder's funeral last week, that's going to happen to me. It's happened to many of the pastors that have pastored this church. We're headed out of here. We're going to our commencement exercise, graduation day, glorification. God, grow our little ones, Lord. These little nose miners that are running around here, and all you ever do is see both fingers up their noses. Lord, this is the next generation of leaders. Oh, Lord, help us. No. God, get a hold of them, Lord. Take captive their hearts. What about a young boy or young girl that your girl is going to be teaching Miss Linda's class when she goes on to be with the Lord, that maybe is in this room right now? What about the young man that might be in the pew right now, that God is stirring his heart, and that he's going to be the one that Longview Baptist Church, when I croak or get too crazy and can't put two sentences together, that the torch is handed to? Y'all are laughing because you know that's going to happen sooner than later, probably. But right now, we can pray in an effective way for the people in our lives. The same way that we better not hand off this nation and say, there's no help, it's too far. Ask Jonah about that. You want to go sit up under a big old leaf, a vine? Don't do it. Why? Because the people turned and repented, and Jonah was throwing a 3-year-old fit. Do you realize that's the whole picture of that? So Jonah was mad that the people turned and repented. You go, what in the world's wrong with him? He needs some medicine. God can turn this around. Don't think he can't. God could start a revival in this nation that could transform generations, and the Lord might not return for 100 more years. Now, I believe he's coming back, but it doesn't matter what I think. It's what God's plan is, and he has me on a need-to-know basis. I'm a pan-millennial, and he'll show me what his plan is when it happens. And you know what the great thing is? If you're a pre-trib, a mid-trib, doesn't really matter. Because you know what? A whole lot of people died, said, I'll tell you what, we'll be out of here before my generation's gone. Oh, really? It's not going to happen until the Lord says, go get my people. And guess what? When it happens, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. And if that happens, that the Lord takes us out and raptures us, you don't want to be here afterwards. Trust me, you don't. But this morning, you know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, whatever God's plan and how end time, we call it eschatology, works out, as long as you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you're living your life in faithful service to him, you've got nothing to worry about today. When Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, your Savior, your everything, we have nothing to fear. So this morning, my question to you, are you encouraged by the growth that is happening in people's lives around you? The ultimate picture of what this message represents is the focus, in a sense, on others. Do you want God's blessing? It doesn't happen in obedience. It doesn't happen in disobedience. It happens in obedience. But you can go from a place of disobedience today to obedience. Are you ready this morning to have a transforming work of God? Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith
ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.